right. Here we go. Number four, I don't know. This may finish it because this finishes what I wanted to do with this session. There's so many other things we could talk about. End times, there's always a temptation to go 8 or 9 weeks. But for what I was trying to do, this is going to be the grand finale. So we're just going to have to pray and do what God wants. But let's open in prayer and we'll get into part four about end times in the Middle East. Heavenly Father, I just pray everything would be for your glory. Thank you for your awesome word. I pray the Holy Spirit would move. I know you're ready and waiting. I pray you would anoint the message through your spirit and being given and being received and being applied. Get hearts excited. Maybe, Lord, the one that's contemplating, maybe their heart will change today through your spirit in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for the water. We've been in a 4-week comparison because of all the craziness in the Middle East of the world scenario as compared to the prophetic description of how the world should look. And I love doing this, but I'll tell you, we haven't done it in years, but every time I do it, I've maybe done it 3 or 4 times a series in my career. Every time, nothing changes. You keep the same route. But so much happens. It's almost like a snowball going downhill that every time just takes forever to put together because there's so much additional stuff that's occurred. So far, I'm not even going to begin to go back and review it because it's been so much and I don't want to take our time away. We've examined a number of incredible things that we'll summarize later, the last of which involved a brief look at the coming Antichrist. This is where we left off, who would arise from chaos in the Middle East, and his main man, the false prophet. We talked about him a little bit, and I do apologize for my voice, and how these two would rise to world power together. Today, we're going to go through some information that I personally believe is absolutely so astounding and exact and perfect that you can't deny it. I'm going to show you how it fits together. And I know you don't know how things happen until the end, but I think you're going to be pretty amazed at what you see today. And I have never put so many hours of study into something to be sure that what I tell you is true. And you'll see why that's important. If you can listen to the stuff that you've heard already through the weeks, but if you can listen to the stuff today and it doesn't affect your heart, you might ought to see if it's beating. Because it's pretty weird, amazing stuff. We're going to look at some information and some scriptures which give powerful clues to the identity of these two people, not names, dates, and birth dates, but where and how these figures are going to arise and what may happen next. And you know Satan loves to mimic God. And I said this last week, but a lot of you weren't here. God has the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Satan in his last days, wanting to take God's world from him, wants to mimic that too. And he has the unholy Trinity, and that is the Antichrist and the false prophet and Satan. And he imitates everything. And here's an accumulation. I want us to jump right into this. And you're going to see why I'm doing this. We talked about the Antichrist and how the tribulation will, a lot of the events that are going to occur in the tribulation. And you just got to jump in there and cover them like we did last week. I like to be very structured in the message, but when you're talking about the tribulation, you bounce all over the place because you have to tell all the things that are happening. But we're going to come back together to a very focused study this week. I'm going to give you seemingly random, but the major events of the Antichrist's career in the 7 years of the tribulation. Okay, I'm going to give you major talking points, major events, major milestones that he's going to have through those 7 years because we're going to compare them to something pretty amazing. Okay, so here's an accumulation of details about the coming Antichrist. Okay, if you're ready, say, aha. You sound better than I did. All right, here we go. Number one, I remember when I was the one sitting out there not long ago laughing at old people. And now, number one, we know this. We've read it how many times? The Antichrist, whether it's symbolic or whether it's true, comes riding on a white horse. A revelation. Now, I don't have the PowerPoint simplified because I just, with all that's been going on, didn't get to do everything on the PowerPoint that I usually like to do. So I'm going to have to read a lot to you this time. But Revelation 6:2, write these scriptures down and listen to me. Never have I been more serious or more sure with the kind of study that's been into this. Don't take my word for what I'm about to tell you. There's been so much study and reading and listening and watching. I want you to go and see the things that we're going to talk about. I want you to. Because when you discover them for yourself, it's when you get the goose pimples the most, okay? Revelation 6:2, and I looked, and behold, a white horse. This is the beginning of the tribulation. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So he's going to come, and that white horse symbolizes he's trying to imitate Jesus, and he's going to be a great conqueror. All right, number two. He is going to be one of the greatest spiritual, political, and military leaders ever in history. He will make Hitler look like he was talking to preschoolers in his Rico Suave, in his power militarily, in his, he's going to, with talk of peace and incredible intellect and suave with the people, bring many people to destruction. But he will become a political and military foe like no other. Revelation 13:4, so they worshiped the dragon, Satan, who gave authority to the beast, the Antichrist. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? He is going to be the man. He's going to come to power very quickly, starting in the Middle East and then moving on. Number three, he comes in a time of chaos in the Middle East. And we talked about this before. And I'll give you some more details and some more verses from that. But know that he comes in a time of chaos. Scriptures are clear and numerous on that. Number four, he offers a long-awaited peace agreement in the Middle East, the 7-year peace treaty. And you guys know we've talked about this, but I want to summarize it all. And anytime I tell you something, anytime I put it on the screen, we're going somewhere with it. So yes, I know you've heard those things, but we need the accumulation of the major facts in the tribulation about the Antichrist for a very good reason. All right, Daniel 9:27, then he shall, the Antichrist, confirm a covenant with many for 1 week of years. But in the middle of that week, 3.5 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate. In other words, he comes halfway through, makes an awful sacrifice in the temple of the Jews, and then begins to cause a wake of destruction. Even until the consummation, meaning just destroying everything, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So, comes in looking like the Savior, awesome leader, at a time of chaos, offers 7 years of peace. Number five. Oh, that was Daniel 9:27. Number five, he rises to power in the Middle East first. He makes his first appearance in the area of the world. And this is where I could take an entire service, and I had to bypass it, and I usually don't, so many of you have heard me talk about it. But I'll put them up there so you can look them up. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Revelation 13, they all give a list of previous empires, and they all say where these empires were. It's where the final beast will arise, trampling on the dust of these previous empires. It's the first place he will raise his head in power. And in the beginning, all the stirring will be right there where he begins his power move, where these other empires were in the Middle East. And go back and read those and you'll see. And I wish I could take the time, but I've got to get where we're going. So you're going to have to look it up. And then, this is very important, he takes Jerusalem as the world headquarters. Remember, there was a war and it ended, and Israel kept her land, but she went through a lot. There's a peace treaty made. At that time, we think that that's when, based on Revelation even, the beginning of the temple will be in its reconstruction. About 3.5 years into that, he's begun to develop his power in the Middle East. He rolls towards Jerusalem, and he takes it. And that's when he sets himself up and he proclaims himself God halfway through. He walks into the temple and desecrates it by proclaiming himself God. And that's the moment that he tells the world, okay, I'm now a man to be reckoned with. I will be worshiped or you will come to your destruction. That's the time when he's going to have his compadre join him, which we'll talk about in a moment, the false prophet. That's the time when he will begin to bring in the economic structure of, if you don't worship me, I'll shut off your finances. It's going to be halfway through at this moment where all these things occur, where he goes from great world leader, I've brought peace, I'm the man, and there's only been any skirmishes in the Middle East at that point, where he becomes now stepping into the world scene, okay? 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4 tells us, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Okay, and this part's very interesting. One of the other things that he does, he changes the times and the laws and the calendars of the whole earth. In Daniel 7:25 talks about this first. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change the times and the law of the entire world. Okay? Very important. And of course, anybody that's going to set up a world-dominating government would do that to a degree. But it even goes as far as to say, not only will I change your laws, I'm going to actually change the calendar with which you keep time. Okay? That's a very distinct prophecy. Number 8, he will cause destruction everywhere for those that reject him. Okay, if you reject him, it's trouble anyway. But scriptures very clearly say he singles out Jewish people and he singles out Christians. Okay, I'll read you two things here. Revelation 12:13. Now when the dragon, Satan, saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. Who's he talking about prophetically? Israel, the Jews, who gave birth to Jesus. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might, this is talking about the last days, Revelation 12, she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, meaning 3.5 years during the tribulation. The Jews will be so persecuted, they will go and hide. Many people think that's Petra, the city in the hill. Very possibly could be. But the Jews will have to run because they'll be so targeted. They will hide from the presence of the serpent. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So if Israel goes to hide for 3.5 years, and the dragon, the beast, says, okay, I'll take care of all the people that were offspring from you, and he goes to get the people that went after Jesus Christ, who's that talking about? The Christians. Okay? Daniel 7:25 says, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. So from 570 years before Christ all the way up to the time of John after Christ, they say again, repeatedly, after the Jews, after the saints of God, for how long? A time, times, and half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years is where it just breaks loose. And the targeting, of course, he's going to go after anybody that won't. And when you, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm not going to reveal that yet. All the people that he'll take out for not accepting him, that's all part of it. But realize every verse says he targets who? The Jews, the Christians, the Jews, the Christians. All right. This is a very unusual one because it doesn't fit in our world. Okay? Number 9 says anybody that resists the Antichrist will be beheaded. Well, the guy that wrote that must not understand modern times, because even if we kill you, we're probably going to give you an injection, or at worst, we're going to hang you, but people don't get beheaded anymore. Revelation 20:4. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshiped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. So we're getting a horrible picture. If you think the Holocaust was bad, and it was horrid, it will be small potatoes to what happens and how fast it happens during this time. Number 10, and this is only a taste, and I'm going to mention some other things that I can't put on the list because We don't have time to talk about them, but I'll just throw them out there as we go. He has this ally of the unholy Trinity that scriptures are clear to say join him in Jerusalem when he gets halfway through, okay? And this is a very religious leader, very powerful religious leader that does many signs and wonders and joins him at that time, 3.5 years in, and his sole purpose is to humbly say, in all of my religious power, I want you to worship the beast because he's the man, okay? That's his job. Give you a little shot of it, Revelation 13, 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs, listen close, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now we've got an overview of many major aspects of the Antichrist's reign. We're going to do a comparison check of just the facts in the world today. I'm going to give you facts, and if you will just impartially open your mind, shut your mouth, and let your heart listen, it will blow you away, okay? We're going to do a check on the facts of our culture, our statistics, and the religion in this world that paints an incredible picture. Fact number one. Islam, the Muslim religion, is currently, and you might not have known this, but it's well known, the fastest growing religion in the entire world. Were you aware of that? Many people were. If you've served in the military, you probably were. I wish I could put all this up here from all the places that I get the facts. I do challenge you. Go look these things up. Check multiple sources, and I check sources that are trustworthy and not just Christian fanatics. Muslims are the majority in 49 countries now. And this has been projected by many people who have done lots of research. In the decades to come, they're projected to grow more than twice as fast as the population of the earth. You see, it's a push in every country. Immigrants rolling in, taking much of the population. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have listened to, read about so much that the Muslims believe, and there are so many good Muslims, and this is not a pick on Muslims. Muslims are a target-rich environment for the love of Christ. But you call things what they are in life, and the Muslim religion is rough. There's a lot of peace-seeking people in the Muslim religion, yes, but it's not designed to be so, and their goals worldwide are not designed to be so as a religion. So you've seen it everywhere, Europe, America, all over the world. The Muslim religion is just taking a foothold, and it's growing exponentially, and they say very shortly in the future it will overcome and become the number one religion in the world because it's fast catching up with the Christian religion, which is falling apart. In Europe, churches are being closed by the handful. In the United States, they're being closed. People are walking away from the Christian faith, and the Islamic faith has become the number one growth spurt in the world. So there's a flip, okay? That's fact number one. Go check it out. Fact number two, anti-Semitism is at a rate of a record high and growing since World War II. And worldwide, it's probably worse than it was at World War II, but obviously the persecution was worse. Listen to this United States report. It's just amazing. I'm going to quote. You ready? Say amen. In nearby New York City, this is this month. This report came out in the past few days, okay? In nearby New York City, anti-Semitic incidents increased significantly in 2019, an increase of 50% from the period of just one previous year. Anti-Semitic incidents make up the majority of all reported hate crimes in the whole city of New York. They all have one common theme, which is the pure hatred of Jews, and that's the common thread here, and that's what we have to keep our eye on, said Evan Bernstein, the New York, New Jersey Regional Director of Anti-Defamation League. Still quoting, it's not any one particular group. It's a myriad of people. Anti-Semitism is affecting all parts of our society. We're seeing in the United States a general rise in the acceptance of anti-Semitism, and it's playing out across the political spectrum and across our society. That's the United States report. Let me give you one from Europe that came out this month, just a few days ago. Okay? The number of anti-Jewish incidents logged in the United Kingdom last year hit record levels yet again for the fourth consecutive year. The figure has reached a new high. Chief Executive David DeLieu said the record came as no surprise. Listen, world leaders warned us last month of the growing tide of anti-Jewish sentiment all over the world. And I could give you so many reports. Even Twitter came out and said they are astounded by the number of worldwide millions upon millions of anti-Semitic things on Twitter. Tweets? I'm not into that. Thank you. Thank you. It's not on the YouTube. Even Twitter has just been lit up to the point that they are looking at it and saying, what is going on? Worldwide. Worldwide. So, incredible rise in the Muslim religion, exponentially. Incredible rise in anti-Semitism all over the world. And they don't understand why. And there's no one culture or subculture that they can point a finger at. Fact number three, Christians have overtaken the number one slot even more than the Jews as the number one persecuted group in the world. And I knew this, but going back and reading fresh facts blew me away. I want you to have a quote on this. This is... Now, I know this is not partial by some Christian crying of blues because I got it from BBC. They're not exactly Christian friendly. This was my strongest one to read to you, and there were many. Quoting, the persecution of Christians in parts of the world is at near genocide levels. We are so safe in the United States, we don't realize this, but this is one of the few places. According to the report ordered by Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt, okay, not some big church. The interim report said, Christianity faces being wiped out from parts of the Middle East. It warns the religion is at the risk of disappearing in some parts of the world. Evidence shows not only the geographic spread of anti-Christian persecution, but also its increasing severity. In some regions, the level and nature of persecution is arguably coming close to meeting the international definition of genocide, according to that which was adopted by the United Nations. We are in the most persecuted group in the world. You're in your safe haven here, which is fast becoming not so, but we don't see what's going on around us. Number one, by far, most persecuted group and growing. Now, this fact four, whatever you think when I start, you'll stop thinking it when I finish if you just keep your ears open, your eyes open, and your heart open, okay? It's pretty amazing. It's beyond pretty amazing. It's, to be honest, it's inescapable, all right? Number four, Islam, the Muslim religion, describes in great and perfecting detail the Antichrist and the false prophet, which makes so much sense. The number one rising religion in the world, the one religion that would have everyone, you will see, fanatically looking for a world leader, anticipating, hoping, preparing for already, long before it comes. I've often wondered, how's one man going to step up and make all these religions just drop everything? And there is a key to this that you're going to be blown away with. Well, how could the Christians, even the ones that are left and become Christians after we're going home, how could they be so blind? Just wait till you see. And don't have any preconceived ideas because you don't know what you're about to hear, okay? It's pretty amazing. And again, I think there are some awesome Muslims. It's not against Muslim people, just like it's not against any man or woman on earth. It is against Satan's doctrine, and this is going to be pretty amazing to you. Okay, I want you to understand a little bit about the Muslim faith that has two main sources of inspiration and teaching. The Quran, it's their holy book, and then the Sunnahs, or a hadith is the plural form for the hadith. It's narrative records of the sayings and customs of the Prophet Muhammad. Okay? These are the things they call their holy books. Quran, of course, is the number one, like the Bible. But their hadith, this is very weighty prophetic sayings from Muhammad. Those are the things that you have to study. There are two major groups in the Middle East that you hear about a lot. The Sunnis and the Shiites. The Sunnis are a little more mild-mannered, a little less radical. Anything that you see involving terrorism, anything you see usually involving Iran and Iraq, it's the Shiites. They're a little more fundamental, a little more aggressive. But they both believe the same things, except for a few minor differences. What I'm going to cover today is believed by both parties. Now, this is what I want you to understand. The writings that we're about to talk about from the Quran, from the Sunnah Hadiths, are integrated into every nation that has been center stage since we started our talks. Remember, all the nations formed in the Middle East except for Russia. Every one of them, all the nations that we're going to talk about in the future here, have a great Muslim population, or they are pretty much dominated and following Sharia law of the Islamic faith. Now think about this. These nations are leading the way in what kind of persecution? Jewish and Christian. Okay? Just take it for what it is. I'm just giving you facts. Okay? They are growing exponentially. Now, the people that are the most aggressive towards Jewish and Christians, the people that are the most growing in their religion worldwide, have writings in their eschatology, their end-time beliefs, which are so perfectly identical to the end-time scenario that it will just blow your mind. It's perfect. When you see it, it's eye-opening. Perfect to everything we read in the Old and the New Testament about our own eschatology, but written in complete, absolute, perfect reverse. Everything we believe is good and right versus everything they believe is good and right through the entire tribulation is reversed. And it blows me away that God was so awesome in his prophetic writings to describe some of the things that I'm going to show you today. Because we couldn't see it coming till it hit us in the face, till we were at the door, till it had unfolded to the point that it's right here. But, and here's what I want you to think about. The number one religion in the world in growth, these writings which they hold in their hand are what fuel and lead the Middle East movement and the Muslim push for world dominance. It is at the heart of every Muslim that the Muslim religion be pushed to dominate the world. Okay, understand that. I want you to listen to their own words. There is nothing I'm going to tell you that is of doubt. Nothing. I ask you to check it out. I have read so many documentaries. I have gone to so many pure radical Islamic sites. I have listened to so many of their prophets speak on video and audio that I am probably on a government watch list. Probably true. But I had to hear it from them. Because the things I was hearing were so amazing, I thought, no, this is a bunch of Christian radicals. Because you get that a lot. I went to the source, and everything that I'm giving you was documented from their sites, from their talks, from their prophets, and from their leaders. Okay? I ask you to go and check it out. Now, has anyone ever heard of they call it usually Mahdi. We often say Mahdi, the guided one of the Islamic faith. He is their appointed savior. In the Islamic religion, they have appointed spiritual positions called the Imam. There have been 11 in the past. Their holy books and their holy writings say that the 12th Imam will be the one who brings the end to the world, who brings Islamic domination to the world. This is from the Shia and the Sunni. The 12th Imam is the spiritual savior. In 868 or 869 AD, a son was born to the 11th Imam and due to persecution was put in hiding. And they believe to this day, he was never buried, they never heard from him. They believe to this day that this 11th Imam's son was put into hiding and is still supernaturally alive and he will surface and he will be the 12th Imam. And what is special about the 12th Imam? He will be Mahdi. He will be the savior of the world in the Muslim faith. Okay, so they are at the door waiting. Now, they believe that he's alive right now and they're waiting for him to rise up. Right now, around the world, all Muslims believe Mahdi will rise as their Messiah and Redeemer in the end times in which they believe they're in. Now, I want you to look at a comparison of this Messiah And it was all I could compare. I could give you so many more. That's why I challenge you to do it. But this is all we have time to talk about. I want you to look at everything that their writings, the Quran and the Hadith, or what is sometimes called Sunnah. If you look it up, their holy writings are called Sunnah or Hadith. This is what you will look for if you look it up, all right? All of this is documented in their writings. The Mahdi comes riding on a white horse. A number of Islamic leaders, if you've ever noticed in the past, keep white horses as a symbol of their status, and just in case he rises up, they want to have the steed ready. That's how much they believe that, and it's ingrained in their beliefs. If you, I don't think I have the picture up here. We'll find out if I press the button again and it pops up, but I don't think so. I meant to. Saddam Hussein himself not only kept a white horse, but had a mural when you went into Baghdad painted of him, him liberating Jerusalem on a white horse with a sword, picturing himself as the Mahdi, because it's what they believe will happen soon. I don't have these up on the board. I didn't have time, but I'm going to read to you from their hadiths. I find the Mahdi recorded. No, this is not in their hadith. This is one of their holy prophets who reads from, this is how sure he is, and he's throwing it back in our face, because all through the hadith, he comes riding, and there's many, many times, we'll talk about it in a moment, on this white horse. But he actually connects it himself to our beliefs, because they do believe, especially in the first five books, but they believe the gospel, they believe in Jesus. They just think all of our writings have been corrupted and we're completely dead wrong. Okay? Quoting, I find the Mahdi recorded in the books of the prophets, meaning the Bible. For instance, the book of Revelation says, and I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat on him went forth conquering and to conquer. I just read it to you. He says, quote, it is clear that this man is the Mahdi who will ride the white horse and judge by the Quran with justice, and with whom will be men with marks of prostration on their foreheads. So he's that confident that all of our hadiths that talk about him coming on the white horse, yeah, you Christians, even though your writings are screwed up, you should recognize, because even your writings talk about him. More on that later. In the hadith and Quran, this Mahdi comes as the greatest spiritual and military giant ever, who will lead a world revolution and establish a new world order under Allah. From a hadith, comes as unparalleled spiritual, political, and military world leader. I could give you quotes after quotes after quotes, but I'm giving you one for each because we've got to go, okay? He will rise at a time of great turmoil and suffering, which is another reason I believe he'll come right after the war of Gog and Magog. From the Quran and from hadiths, but from the Quran, before the last hour, the last days, there will be commotion like pieces of a dark night. And I could read to you pieces of, and he's talking about in the coming of Mahdi. And there are many writings in the hadith, but we're going to go on. He will make a 7-year peace treaty. There are a few straggling things that say it's going to be 7 years, could last as long as 8 or 9, but their baseline that every one of them says, he will make a peace treaty with Israel, with a Jew of priestly lineage for 7 years in the midst of his great coming to earth. The Mahdi will come to power in the Middle East. Okay? All of Revelation 13, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, all give the previous empires and say this is where the Antichrist will come to power, in the dust on the feet of these previous empires when he starts. There's a place in ancient times called Khorasan. There's still many cities and businesses that are named after Khorasan. It's on the top eastern northern side of Iran and into Afghanistan. There's this place where ancient Khorasan was, okay? Listen to this. The Mahdi will ride when they're with the Mahdi. And the people that ride with Mahdi will ride with black flags flying. And this is predicted all the way through their books. They'll have a black flag flying. It'll have one word in Arabic, punishment, vengeance. Okay, when you see the radicals right now moving and marching and doing crazy things, what are they all holding in Islam today? Look at every picture. Look at every terrorist attack. Look at every single person that is murdered. They always have someone standing there holding what? Black flag. It has always been said in the hadith that when this Mahdi rides, he will ride with the black flag of jihad, and it will say punishment. This is quoting from hadith. If you see the black flags coming from Khorasan, which is where? Near Iran and Afghanistan, which is where? In the Middle East, which is where is the Antichrist supposed to come to power? In the Middle East. Listen, if you see the black flags coming from Khorasan, join that army, even if you have to crawl over ice, for that is the army of Imam al-Mahdi, and no one can stop that army until it reaches Jerusalem. This is their holy writings. He will conquer Israel, and he will make his world headquarters in Jerusalem. This is in the writings of the Islamic faith. He will come to power in the Middle East, and his power push, he will go straight to Israel, take over Jerusalem, and make it his headquarters. Where does the Antichrist go halfway through the tribulation of all places on earth? What city does he go into to make his headquarters when he proclaims himself God? Jerusalem. I'll read the similar version of another hadith that I just read. Dear Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu, I hope I said that right, said, black flags will appear from Khorasan. Nothing will stop them until they will be placed at Elia, the Holy Land of Jerusalem. Volume 4, Hadith 1599. So this man is supposed to come to power in the Middle East, supposed to build his armies, rush to Jerusalem, take it, pronounce himself God over the world, standing in Jerusalem. Are you freaking out about this point? This is in their writings. Okay? This is what they claim, I promise you. He will be a ruler for 7 years. When he first steps up, that's going to be the push, the gist of his great push to world dominance for Islam. He will cause Islam to be the only religion in the world. He will establish, are you listening close? He will establish Sharia law and the Islamic calendar worldwide. What is the Antichrist supposed to do? Very unusual prophecy. Not only will he take over the laws, most of the world follows pretty much the same calendar anymore, but he will change the calendar and the times and the laws all over the world. This is a big one. He will persecute Jews and Christians. I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to expand on it in a little bit, but this is out of the Hadith and out of the Quran. He will break the cross, meaning break Christianity, and kill the swine. They call the Jews pigs. He will break the cross, kill the swine, and abolish jizya. Jizya is a non-Muslim tax. If you're in a Muslim area and you're not a Muslim, you have to pay extra tax. He's saying when this guy comes, he will break the cross, kill the swine, and abolish that because we won't need it anymore. Because if they're around, we're going to get rid of them. You will convert or you will die as a Christian and as a Jew. So we're going to do away with that tax because we're not playing that game anymore. Okay? That sounds like he's kind of singled these people out, doesn't it? Who is the Antichrist supposed to single out in the seven-year tribulation that starts in the Middle East and goes to Jerusalem and pronounces himself God of the world? He's supposed to single out Jews and Christians. This one's unusual. He will behead his resistors. The Quran in Surah 8, 12, and 13, I will cast terror into their hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. That's not the only verse, but that's the main one. This one's unusual, and I'm not going to put it on there, but it's going to all come together for you in just a minute, and you're going to be amazed. But one of the other things he will do, he will discover an ancient biblical manuscript near the Sea of Galilee that states, and what it'll be Old and New Testament writings that have been forever lost, that he discovers from ancient times that prove that our scriptures were wrong and they had been corrupted, and he will throw them in the face of Christians and Jews and say, see, you've been wrong all along. Worship Allah. More on that in a minute. He will amass an army to defeat the coming Antichrist. Stop, look, and listen to what I am telling you. He will amass an army of followers, and one of the biggest reasons he's amassing it, besides global power, is in the writings of the Quran and the Hadith. Their belief is that the false Antichrist will come to earth and he will amass all the armies of the world that come under his control and stand ready under someone very special we'll talk about in a minute to head off this Antichrist, this false God that will come to the earth and try to take away the dominion of the Mahdi that he has worked 7 years to build. Can you please tell me what that sounds like? At the end of the tribulation, when the Antichrist rises up with all the armies of the world and stands toe-to-toe, ready to face God, tell me why would the earth, in great fanaticism, follow a man knowing someone is coming that says there will be God and dare to try to fight God? Why would you do that unless everything you believe and have ever believed tells you that you have the real God and this guy's fake and I'm destined to beat him? Why else would the armies of the world come against the God in Revelation that is coming to fight mere man? If you're not right now backing up and regrouping, you got issues. And now, I'm almost done, but this is amazing. This rattled me to the bone. It's just amazing. He will be joined by Issa, who points to him. Does anyone know who Isa is? Isa is the name in the Muslim religion of Jesus Christ. They believe strongly in Jesus Christ. They love Jesus Christ. But they don't believe he's the Jesus that we believe he is. And he plays an incredible part in their end time scenario. Go look it up. Here's what happens. The parallels are so completely unavoidable. Our scriptures, I want to tell you this first before I go into this last little piece, because we're seeing all these things I showed you in our scriptures, right? And then I'm showing you all these things in the Quran and the Hadith. And you say, well, man, they're identical, but completely opposite to a perfect degree. Somebody copied somewhere. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. How you know you're so right, Doug? Maybe they're right. Maybe we copied them. Maybe we're the ones that are ignorant. Maybe we should be Muslim. Well, I just want you to stop for just a second and realize very quickly you can just drop that notion easy. Here's why. Our scriptures had, and I've covered this with you guys many times, but many of you have never heard it. So listen up. Our scriptures had 40 different authors that lived at different times. Many didn't know each other and didn't know what the other one wrote. Our scriptures were written over almost 1,600 years on three different continents in three different languages from people of every walk of life, from king to prisoner to pauper. And even though they were written by 40 people that didn't know each other on three different continents over 1,600 years, they have perfect unity. That alone should make you just stop and say this book ain't quite like the rest. Okay? And they have scientific and medical knowledge that goes beyond things. We've just caught up with many things that are in the Bible. And they have thousands, quote, thousands of prophecies, many of which we have already seen have been proven in history to be phenomenally above the knowledge and the ability of man to predict. And in all these years and all the diggings, we've never found errors or fallacies archaeologically, historically, scientifically, or medically. We haven't found them. Even though it was written as far back as 1400 BC in some pieces. Can you think of any other religious book? Now, in comparison, the Quran was written 600, depending on the parts of the Bible you're talking about, 600 to 2,000 years after our scriptures by a man that was very acquainted with our scriptures and had grown up knowing some of them. Now, it was all revealed to one man and only one man. And he wrote it in just 23 years. Okay? Even though it was written all those years later, it was by only one man and it was only 23 years to complete. Now, he didn't write it. He gave verbal prophetic statements that he said he got from the angel Gabriel. Okay? But his words came within 23 years. And even though it was only one man, even though it was years later, even though it was only 23 years, there are blatant historical errors. And there are no fulfilled prophecies. And there are clear scientific inaccuracies And these are all objective statements that you can go look up yourself. When you consider the writings of this book, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. When you consider the writings of this book, the Quran and the Hadith, and you know the massive growth and the massive influence that is all over the world, and you now know the words that they speak about the end time eschatology that they believe will occur very soon, that is the fastest growing religion all over the world, and you now know clearly this is what they believe, can you not see how it's setting the stage for the perfect acceptance of someone who will rise up with a new religion and do all the things the Antichrist is supposed to do, especially when we're gone? When you think about this and you know the words that are being taught and you know how fast it's growing and you see how unbelievably, exactly, nothing misses, parallel but opposite, that the world is learning and embracing exponentially while Christianity falls through the floor as the most persecuted group in the world, do you not see the writing on the wall? And the crazy thing is, we no longer have to wonder what would drive a multitude to follow a religious tyrant to conquer the world in the name of a false religion. I always wondered, how's this guy going to pop up with some false religion and make everybody buy into it? That's insane, because it is. But it's not insane to think that a religion that's the fastest growing religion in the world, that's been around for centuries, that's now taken a foothold in every nation and every society, that's not a push to understand why they would come forward with a conquest that they've been promised for hundreds of years, is it? No. We no longer have to wonder how people could accept a man as a holy savior and rise up against God himself knowing that he's coming. When your religion says he's coming, and your religion says, but you've got the real God, and your real God shows signs and wonders, of course you'll join him. You no longer have to wonder how Christians and Jews are so targeted and why they're so targeted in this New World Order. Out of all the peoples and all the religions in the world, why Christians and Jews? Doesn't it make sense now? You no longer have to wonder how people could accept the disappearance of millions. Stop and think about this. We've always wondered. I can't get past this. If the millions that disappeared happened to be the open, declaring rejectors of the God that walks the earth, and they happen to have all been gotten rid of at once while he's proclaiming himself the most powerful God, doesn't that make sense? And unless you knew, God says even if it were possible, even the elect could be confused because this man will promise peace and seem so awesome and have all the answers and be so powerful and show things that we've never seen. And then suddenly millions of people disappear. Do you think they wouldn't believe it was their God? It makes sense. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. We're almost done. I wish I could stay here forever. I just don't want to stop talking about this. The coming of the lawless one, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. As if that weren't enough, 5 minutes, people, 5 minutes, you don't want to miss this. I don't care if you missed everything else. This one just took me. This is the icing on the cake. This is what blows me away. Remember, I told you that there would be someone joining this Antichrist as he rides. He would have another join him, and it would be halfway through the tribulation, and he would meet him in Jerusalem of all times and places to, with great signs and wonders, say, follow the Antichrist. He's God. That's when he's going to join. We saw it in Revelation, right? And this guy's going to be humble. It ain't about me, even though I'm all powerful. It's about him. I fall under him. Follow him. He is God. Some of you, like I just said, know that Muslims believe strongly in Jesus. You ain't going to believe what they write about him, because they write a lot. A lot. They believe in him, but they adamantly, with passion and hatred, reject what we believe about the Son of God. Listen to the Quran 4:171. Quoting, "O people of the book, Jews and Christians, do not exceed the limit in your religion and attribute to God nothing except the truth. The Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, was only a messenger of God. So believe in God and in his messengers and do not say God is a Trinity. Give up this assertion. It would be better for you, for God is indeed the only one God. Far be it from his glory that he should have a son." For the Quran 19:88 through 93. "And they say the most merciful God has taken for himself a son. Assuredly, you utter a hideous thing, whereby almost the heavens are torn and the earth is split asunder and the mountains fail in ruins, that they ascribe unto the most merciful a son, when it is not suitable for the majesty of the most merciful that he should take a son. There is none in the heavens and the earth, but comes into the most merciful as a slave." They don't believe he was raised from the dead. They don't believe he was a savior. Quran 4:157. "They did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but another was made to resemble him to them." They believe he was a misunderstood prophet of Allah all along. Listen close. They believe another died in his place while he ascended to Allah. And here's the biggie. Check this little guy out riding behind him. This is a real poster they have. Mahdi and Christ on the way, coming soon. They believe in the return of Jesus Christ very strongly. He is the second most powerful person to come back in the 7 years when the Mahdi rules. They believe he will return in the last days. He will be the one. I didn't tell it to you before. Jesus is the one that comes back and finds the ancient scrolls at the Sea of Galilee. Jesus comes back for one reason, to find these scrolls and tell the world, for those that do try to convert, "We're gone. You were wrong about me. Stop with your blasphemy. Allah has kept me alive just to come back," and he will die as a man years later to show them he wasn't God. "Allah has kept me alive so I could come back in the last days and tell you you were wrong about me. I am a follower of Allah. I am a devout Muslim. Give your allegiance to this man." This is their writings, again, quoting, "Jesus will descend from heaven and espouse the cause of Mahdi. The Christians and the Jews will see him and recognize his true status. The Christians will abandon their faith in his Godhead." Now, I read this part earlier, but I didn't read who executed the action in their hadith because I wanted you to catch the full gist now. "The Son of Mary will soon descend among you as a just ruler, and he will break the cross and kill the swine and abolish jizya." Jesus will come back and break the cross of the Christians and say, "Don't worship me, you are wrong." Jesus will kill the Jews that will not turn to Mahdi. Jesus will say, "I'm getting rid of the tax that protects you, because if you won't follow now, after hearing from me, you don't deserve to live anymore." He will be the one to lead the army against the false Antichrist. When Jesus comes back, the Muslim religion, the Islamic religion, has taught in their eschatology that the real Jesus, the false prophet, will be the one to lead the fight against the false God that comes to destroy them in the 7 years of tribulation. And they say the false prophet will be riding on a donkey with one bad eye. Jesus looks a little different than that, I think, but that's okay. Now, please listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, because when I saw it, my heart melted, and it's so simple, but it's not. In Revelation 13, when the description of the false prophet is coming, and he comes halfway through, and he comes during the time of Jerusalem, I want you to see, remember the symbolism and all the animals and all the beasts that come out of the ocean, there's a very specific symbolism for the false prophet in our writings in Revelation. Listen to how he's described. "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon." Now, because I couldn't let this lie, I went through the entire book of Revelation and found every single time lamb was used by John in the entire book of Revelation, and every single time, 100%, it is used to describe one person, Jesus Christ, every time. Go look them up yourself. Feel free. So, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said when this Antichrist rises up, he will look like who? Jesus. He will rise up as a false prophet, and he will be associated with the Lamb. So I don't care if you think the Quran copied him. I think it's straight out of Satan's realm, his own holy book. But I don't care what you believe. 2,000 years ago, before the Quran ever came to be and before we even saw it in this generation, 2,000 years ago, John wrote through the inspiration of Jesus Christ, when this false prophet arrives, he will be associated with and look like the Lamb. And in the Islamic religion, the false prophet that comes at the same place that the Antichrist comes in Revelation steps up and calls himself whom? The Lamb. The scriptures, their scriptures say that blatantly. No beating around the bush. If you don't get blown away by that, and besides that, listen to the rest of the description of the false prophet in Revelation. And he exercises all authority for the first beast in his presence and does what? Causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven and on earth in the sight of men. Now listen to this. Islam says the false prophet points everybody towards the Mahdi. I listened to a documentary by the top prophets of Islam, just hours of it. They claim openly, and it blows me away. Their hadith says that Jesus will return, find these ancient writings, come to back him up, that Mahdi, out of kindness, will say, Jesus, would you like to open in this great prayer, in this great moment? And Jesus will say, oh no, I stand behind and beneath you. My service is to you. You pray. And then it says that Jesus will perform great signs and miracles for the first time in Jerusalem to back up the sayings of Mahdi when he claims to be God, that he will perform great signs and wonders at that moment so they will know Mahdi is real. And in Revelation, it says when the false prophet stands with the Antichrist in Jerusalem halfway through, what does he do to show you that he's real? He performs great signs and wonders. Can I get a witness? Good grief. What do you need? So, looking at the world events, compared to 2,000, 2,700 years ago in the writings, we find that all of the things we've talked about, and it's only maybe half, all the things have to happen in one generation, and they're stupendous by themselves. But if it's not one generation, it means nothing. And we have seen in the last 4 weeks, in one generation, our generation, all signs supposed to point to the last generation. Israel came back after 2,000 years against all odds to a desolate place when it was said she'd be scattered till the end of times and brought back miraculously like no other group of people. Bam! Happened. Russia, Iran, many other nations. Right place, right alignment, right military, right attitude, right beliefs, right coalitions. Everything right where it's supposed to be, written about over 2,000 years ago and 2,500 years ago in some cases. The world in need of peace because of the Middle East and everybody hating Jerusalem, written about 2,500 years ago. That would be the case in the generation that saw Israel come back. It's happening when? Right now. That there would be a world economic system in place to buy, sell, or trade with nothing but a number that has only happened in our generation. We even saw last week how there's technology in the end that allows the entire world to watch three people on the street lay their dead together in unison while they give gifts to each other, which couldn't have happened until we had satellite TV and your generation. Even little things like that, scriptures are profound. Well, you know the person that wrote it. What are they talking about? They didn't know that. Major shifts in hatred towards Jews and Christians that no one can explain that's coming from all over the world. And that is an objective truth. Islam becoming the fastest religion in the world in growth. The fastest. And this surging religion just happens to be the very religion of every country involved in the scenarios we've talked about. Happens to be the fastest. Happens to give an exact description and promised coming and sworn allegiance to a man with a mission that is the exact picture of the Antichrist in God's word and pushes them to prepare for war against the real God, pushes them and explains that it's coming and says if they stand with Allah, they will win. All of this was predicted 2,000 years ago. And none of it can happen until you and I are removed. Did you get the last statement? All of this happens after we're gone. And if you see this much coming together, when does the snowball stop rolling downhill and you realize what is going on? I've given you so many things. I challenge you and beg you to check them out. They're objective facts. I've not played games. When do you realize these things are upon us like they've never been in mankind's history? You could never fit these in the way we have seen them objectively fit in. You could not. I promise you, we see them. It's all occurred. And everything that happens next is supposed to occur when you and I are gone. What are you waiting for? Because at best, when we're gone and everybody thinks that Allah has stricken us down, you will realize what happened and you'll live through hell on earth at best. So you tell me, how do the scriptures look to you now? You tell me, how close do you think we are? Closing. Revelation 22, 12 through 14 and 20. This is how God closes out his whole Bible. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. None of this has to be anything but awesomeness to you. None of it has to be a nightmare. None of it has to be scary, because we have so much more to look forward to. When you can say everything that I just heard will never happen to me, how rocking is that? God so desires that you don't see any of this, that he let himself go through more hell than anybody in the tribulation will, out of severe love for you. Because he wants to be close to you. Because he wants to open a city and show you, look what I made for you. And it's all up to you, because he loves you too much to force you. He's just saying, would you just understand that I died so you wouldn't have to? Would you just accept what I did? Come give me a hug and live for me like I live for you, and let's get it on. You ever heard an invitation like that? It's true. But he says, it's your choice. And if you don't want to, the world you've created, the world Satan's created, let it eat you up. If this is what you choose, stay here and let it devour you, because I can have nothing to do with it. And when it's all over and you finish devouring each other, I will come and I will make sure to sweep all the mess away, and I'm going to start over. I hope you join me. That's what he's saying. Longest sermon I've had in a year. I'm sorry. How do you walk away from that? Stand with me in prayer, would you? Heavenly Father, you are God. You are awesome. You are so full of wisdom. Your prophecies have been unfailing. Your justice is perfect. Your mercy is awesome. Your love is unstoppable. And you love us like crazy. You just so desperately want to be near us, and we don't understand it, Lord. Let the darkest, most sinful person here realize you are just right there, and you don't care what's happened, you just want them. Lord, let no one miss you, not just because of the suffering that would come, but because they don't know what they're missing as far as such love and acceptance and joy from you. Anybody here, Lord, that is contemplating, let the Holy Spirit push them to you. Lord, let us get serious. Let this not soon depart from our hearts, but see the wonder of your word like we never have, and live like we never have, because the days are dark. And everything we just read is in our face. And we've got to be ready. Holy Spirit, have your way in Christ's name. Amen.